In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Good morning. Clearly, a VBS preparation has begun. So in case you thought we'd kind of gone over the edge, and do not show this to my liturgics professor, please. It's VBS. Had this interesting experience over the last couple of weeks. We have spent almost every day with all of our grandchildren in some fashion or another. And our children have been here with us, which is always a glorious time. But it's also, I'm discovering, I'm more of a grandfather today than any other day I've felt in quite some time. Everyone has moved back to their homes, or respectfully, as of this morning. But yesterday I had this opportunity as I was reflecting not only on this sermon from Friday, just the week and what was happening before my eyes in the midst of my day. I was sitting on the edge of the pool with our youngest grandchild because he wanted to be like the older children. One of them's the same age as he is, by the way. They are all swimming everywhere, under, over, having a wonderful time. So he's on the steps, but he doesn't have his flotation device on, which is essentially has been taken from him because he's afraid to swim. And so I'm sitting on the edge of the pool, and I'm watching him, and I realized in the midst of this, he actually does know how to swim. And in just sort of a conversation as you'll have with a four-year-old, I'm asking little questions here and there, and I discover he's afraid to put his face under the water. Now, I don't know if you know this or not, but it's really hard to swim if you can't put your face in the water. You go like this, and your whole body goes vertical, and it's a little hard to keep swimming when your feet are under you and not behind you. Amen? So I decide, well, maybe I'll get in. I see an opportunity for Grandpa here to step in. And so I did. And I was encouraging him, and I get into the water with him. And at some point, Grandma went into the kitchen, but I looked up and saw her looking out the window with this horror on her face as I moved him away from the steps and explained to him if he puts his face in the water and kicks, he will make it back to the steps. And then I pushed him into the water and towards the steps, which he did, and he kicked, and he kept trying to put his face up, and I put your head down, and he made it to the steps. It was only a few feet, but it was quite a journey for him, I promise you. You can imagine what followed. There was a lot of screaming, yelling, and horror. And then Brian was upset too. The other one, the little one's Brian, by the way. I'm looking at Grandma's face in a window, and I'm just turned away. Let's not look at Grandma right now. We're doing something important, right? And Grandpa's have a purpose, believe it or not. And so, but the most interesting thing that happened, yes, he was upset. Yes, he was crying, but he didn't get out of the pool and run away. See, because he had an experience. He was still upset, so I looked and I said, why are you crying? And he's just crying. I said, are you hurt? No. You're just scared. Yeah. Well, you just experienced the worst thing that's going to happen to you, and you did it. So we did it a couple more times, and he was more comfortable as it went along, but then I had to recognize we were only going to make it so far. And I just kind of let him be. But I watched him the rest of that time in the pool always push his limits just a little further, just a little further, gaining that comfort, you see. And as I was watching that and reflecting on faith journeys and description of what Jesus is doing today, I thought, for me, anyway, this kind of makes sense. See, here's little Brian. I don't know how long I'll be able to say that. Little Brian, clinging to the steps, he sees all of his cousins and siblings are all out in the pool, and they're jumping off the side and playing all these games and the rest of it, and he's holding to the steps out of fear. I'm sitting there as his grandfather watching him, and I've helped a few kids learn how to swim in my life, and I see within him everything he needs to be able to swim away from those steps. So I took that moment and I just pushed him over his comfort zone. And he still found comfort in it. But what he was doing before is he'd be clinging to those steps and he'd put his little feet behind him and he'd be kicking and he'd go, look, I'm swimming. And I'm like, no, you're not. But I'm swimming. No, you're not swimming, you're holding on to the steps. You can swim, but you're not swimming. Sometimes we need somebody to pull us off the steps and move us in the direction that we need to be moving. It sounds a little bit like a faith journey, doesn't it? Because we don't know what we're going to find out there. He can't touch the bottom. I can't hardly touch the bottom in certain parts of the pool. But the reality is, he was scared because he didn't know. Well, he got a taste of it. It didn't go swimmingly. He wasn't thrilled, but he didn't run. But he still kind of clung to the steps, and I could watch him so desperately. Everything in him wanted to swim. But he was holding so close to the fear. Jesus talking to his disciples, who he has just given their mission to them in the gospel according to Matthew. He says this: a disciple is not above the teacher, nor a slave above the master. It is enough for the disciple to be like the teacher. And I think that should be like a number one lesson for us Christians. We think so much, and the world, by the way, thinks you're supposed to be Christ. You're supposed to be like him. That's the goal. Unfortunately, we make mistakes and we screw that up, and the world goes, oh, you're a hypocrite. No, not a hypocrite, just trying, and I failed, and you saw it. Doesn't make me a hypocrite. Just means I've tried to do something and it didn't work. And now I'm going to try again. And if I did it wrong, I will repent and return to the Lord. But we have to hold on to be like the master. Be like the teacher. You don't have to be the teacher. And he continues to go on talking about fear. So have no fear of them, for nothing is covered up that will not be uncovered, and nothing secret that will not become known. All these things that we see, all these fears that we may have, the fears we may have of others and others' behaviors towards us as we live our life as Christians, as openly Christian, as my son would call it, the concept is it can be a little bit unnerving, amen? In a world that isn't exactly ready to line up and affirm your Christianity, it's more likely to tear it apart. It's more likely to associate you with people that someone in the news decided were Christian, and the rest of us are looking at it going, no, no, not that Christian. I'm not that one. I don't know where you got that example, but it's not the one that I have from my teacher. But a good Christian just doing their thing and, you know, getting off the steps isn't really news. So we get a little nervous. I'd have to say, honestly, in the midst of this, if Jesus is doing a promotional campaign, this is terrible. I mean, this is bad. He's saying, yeah, come and follow me. Oh, by the way, if you think they treat me bad, wait till what they do to you. And by the way, quit worrying. Don't be in fear. Whatever I say to you in the dark, you tell it in the light, and what you hear whispered proclaimed from the housetops. Do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Oh, all right. So maybe I should start paying attention to what Jesus is saying. Maybe I think that the world is going to be able to take me down, but the world really can't if I'm a follower of Jesus. But do I believe that to be true to the level that I'm willing to go out there and do these things and proclaim from the rooftops this good news of Jesus Christ? Or am I going to be afraid to do that and find out otherwise that that's not exactly the call? Because it comes to something else. He says, do not be afraid because you are more value than many sparrows. And we think, well, that's, as we just heard, that seems pretty valuable, doesn't it? I mean, if this tiny little bird is of concern to God, certainly I must be of more value. And he says so. Everyone, therefore, who acknowledges me before others, I also will acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever denies me before others, I will also deny before my Father in heaven. Did you catch that? Anyone who acknowledges Christ before others, he will acknowledge you before the Father. If you deny him, he will deny you before the Father in heaven. And that sounds terrible. Again, not a good recruiting phrase. But it happens to be true, brothers and sisters. And here's the other part of this understanding, my analogy. If you are clinging to the steps and you are in fear of getting into the deep end, and you know that God's calling you into the deep end because, well, he is, amen? Isn't he always? Come on, come a little further. You take a step towards him, he goes, and a little further. And you go, really? And then you take again, he goes, just another step this way, right? Isn't that what the journey is like? And before you know it, you don't hardly recognize yourself. Just keep saying, come, keep coming, keep coming, keep striving. Be like the teacher. But we cling to the steps when we know that's the call. Just as Brian's clinging to the steps, little Brian, clinging to the steps, I gotta claim it while I can. As he's clinging to the steps, he knows he wants to, everything inside of him wants to be out in the pool with everyone else, doing what everyone else is doing. And he holds onto the steps and says, now let me know if you've ever said this one when God's called you. You know what he says to me when I say, why don't you swim out there? He says, I can't. How many times have we said that, brothers and sisters, when somebody's called us and say, hey, could you do this? I can't do that. And we can think of a thousand reasons why we can't, whether it's our schedule, our priorities, our abilities, whatever it is, we may not want to acknowledge the reality, so we just say, I can't. And we don't. But we know everything inside of us wants to be out there. A part of us knows that everything we need to be out there doing the work God's called us to do, a part of us knows we have it. And then we don't go. So you may have convinced yourself, like Brian, that clinging to the steps that and kicking his feet that he's swimming. He was not. If you are hearing the call and you know the call and you are thinking of all the reasons why you can't and you're holding on to the steps and you're afraid of the deep end, you're not hearing the word of God who promises to be there for you in the deep end, and you are denying him. You're denying him. That's harsh, isn't it? Not a good marketing campaign. But brothers and sisters, I stand here telling you that because I was thrown into the deep end. I was dragged away from the steps, kicking and screaming, clinging like a cat being held over a bathtub. I got the scratches to prove that. It's a fight, and it's a fight for all of us. But you have everything. God has promised you everything. He says you don't have to fear anything. You're of more value than the sparrow that he cares for and is aware of. Certainly you are of more value than the sparrow. The question really comes down to, can we overcome our fear? As I made my journey through seminary and towards ordination, I learned along the way that when in our tradition, in our Anglo-Catholic understanding, when someone is ordained to ministry in what we call the historic church, which we claim to be a piece of, there is an ontological change in the person. So I was ordained to the diaconate in February, went back to seminary to finish my senior year, went back to finish, and of course my classmates are like, what changed? You've been ordained, something about you, about your very being should be different. Do you know what it is? And I had to stop and think about that, and I had to pray about that before I came to the understanding. The difference that it is I was exactly where I was supposed to be. That uncomfortableness of being there or being in front of or doing different things for God, I don't have it. See, God has called me to be where I am. And when I cling to the steps, he pulls me out and says, you forgot how to swim, go for it. And he kicks me loose. And so I go swimming. So what does that mean? Well, in church, we like to be really polite, don't we? We don't like to say things to people that might upset them. But sometimes we need to listen together, myself included, to what is God saying? How is he speaking to us today? And brothers and sisters, he's saying, if you deny me, I will deny you. That's not a simple statement that's just buried in a longer reading. When we know we're being called and we know that God is pushing us to go and he pulls us out and we're going, I can't. You have to go anyway, even if it means you're just going to end up kicking and hoping for the best. Because when you know what it is and you continue to stay put and you're too afraid to move, you have denied the very power of God that is indwelling you, which he has promised you, which he reminds us of constantly in Scripture, which is reminded to us again when we come to receive the very body and blood. When we are called to move and we don't, we are denying God. What's changed in me? Just like you, I don't like to say things that might upset somebody. What I'm standing here doing as your preacher today is preaching. I'm not telling you something nice. I'm telling you what the Word of God says because you need to know. Does it upset some people? Probably. You don't have to tell me it bothers you. I know many of you have just remembered what shoes you put on this morning. I feel the same way, but God's called me to speak truth to you, his truth. So I'm not saying anything that isn't in line with what Jesus is saying to you. I'm begging you, let me pull you from the steps, remind you that God has, remind you that you have everything you need. Let me pull you away from those steps and say, if you want back, put your head down and kick. And then I'm going to let you go. Now here's the other thing. You're not going to drown. When Brian started going under, I grabbed him and I pulled him up and he's crying. I said, do you feel my hand on you? Yes, Grandpa. I have my hand on you. You are not going to be hurt. Do you trust me? No, was his answer. But do you feel my hand on you? And that's what it comes down to. God is calling us. In a sense, he is even warning us. If you deny me, I will deny you. Those aren't simple words, and they're not to be taken lightly. And he tells how difficult it's going to be if your priorities are wrong. Do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father and a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And one's foes will be members of one's own household. Anybody understand what that means? Yeah, you've had that fight in your world, in your life, in your very home. Well, you're being called to do what God's calling you to do, and someone else is still struggling to even think about getting a toe in the water, and you have a struggle, don't you? His father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. See, if Jesus isn't number one, if isn't your love for Christ and motivated by his love for you, if that isn't first, there's going to be a struggle. But when you trust and you decide to let go of the steps, when you jump into the deep end, I promise you, his hand will be on you. You're more valuable than the sparrows, than many sparrows. And he says this just as yet another grim reminder to us that meant absolutely nothing to his disciples at the time. He says, and whoever does not take up the cross and follow me is not worthy of me. They will figure that out quickly, but we already know what it means. The journey's not easy. Those who find their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it. If you have created your life and it's just so, and within your life there is no place for Jesus, you are going to lose that life, I promise you. If you change your priorities and Jesus becomes your core priority in every single decision you make and every single morning when you wake, you stand firm on the foundation of faith in Jesus Christ. Whatever life that is built from there will bring life. When you lose your control of making the life you want, and accept the life that Christ has for you, the one in which you were created to live by your Creator, you will find life. I promise. It is true. It can be hard to remember, but the facts are the facts. As I was reading different things, I saw a reflection written by a woman named Natalie Rigoli. She's an attorney that happens to write spiritual reflections. Don't know how I found her. I'm going to trust God in that. And she says it very simply. True faith knows that if Christ is worth anything, he is worth everything. Brothers and sisters, don't be afraid. Trust. Let go of the steps. Get in the deep end. Know that God's hand is upon you. In fact, his very spirit indwells you. Do not deny. Do not try to build your life. Take the life that's been given by the giver of life. And find the truth and the joy. You will never know, just like Brian will never know, until he lets go. But he will one day. And all that he thought was so important that he couldn't let it go will be a faint memory, even be able to articulate anymore. The same will be true for you. So, yes. I'm going to rip you away from the steps, and I'm going to say swim. Don't lose sight of your foundation. A life in Christ is a life abundant. Amen.